Hey everybody, welcome back to the 3-Inch Ride podcast. It's been a bit of a while for us, but we are back and ready to go. As always, my name is Matt, and here with the former fill-in co-host, now seems to be permanent co-host, Brennan. Hello mate, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good to be back.
We're in a new location today. We're normally in the back bedroom. We're now in the garage slash gym, so a bit more room, a bit warmer in here, but that's okay.
About 10 degrees warmer, that's sweating.
But anyway, today with us we have a good mate of ours, Glenn Gallagher. Gals, hello mate, how are you?
Good boys, how are we?
Doing all right. So obviously, through the last few podcasts, we've been putting out messages to people, anybody that has their own heart condition, heart disease stories, and Gals actually reached out to us for a chat, so we obviously brought him in today. So Gals, a bit about yourself, chat to us about your heart condition.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed in 2014. I actually went to the doctor just to have my eye checked out. So I had a minor eye operation. And then from there, I had to go and have some pre-op checks. And one of those things was an ECG in my heart. And I got the call about 4 hours later from the doctor saying, I need to talk to you. One of those conversations, which I've never had before. And so I went back into the practice, and she sat there and told me that I had a life-threatening heart condition, and I was completely unaware, didn't know about it. In hindsight, I felt symptoms, but it wasn't until she pointed those out. But yep. Yeah, it was a bit of a shock for me. So I'd gone from going in to have my eyes looked at to having my heart checked out. So had the operation, the next day. It was a bit of a funny story, but had that done, and then for the next sort of 6 months and some checks and tests and whatnot, and came out with what they call dilated cardiomyopathy. So basically it's an enlarged heart, and you have what they call an ejection fraction with that. And my ejection fraction at the time was 35%. Normal range is up around 60 to 70%. 35 considered really, really low. I asked my doctor how low can that get before it's a problem. She said, well, at 25, we talk about heart transplants. So it was a bit of a shock to the system. Been on medication since that period of time.
So an enlarged heart, I guess what you've mentioned the symptoms. What are the symptoms that I guess you didn't know, but...
Yeah, so I'd get really tired. So I was struggling down to Sydney every day for work at the time. And by the time Friday afternoon came, I was spent. Had not a lot of energy. I'd feel a heart flutter, but again, I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, no, didn't know, didn't get it checked out, as most blokes don't. And my ankles would get really swollen, and I just put that down to my foot injuries. But as it turned out, it wasn't. So I got the all clear that once I'd been on the meds, I sort of changed my diet, whole diet, and went to a personal trainer, and in a 5-month period, I lost about 20 kilos. And then just eating better, making better choices, limiting alcohol intake. But the condition itself, there is no cure. So you take meds, and but over time, it does deteriorate. So the life expectancy is 5 years for that condition. I've been going for 10, so I couldn't run for 10 years ago.
Borrow time, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So, when I got the all clear about 4 months after I'd been diagnosed, I went on a cruise with some mates, and I said to the doc, am I okay to go on this cruise? And she said, of course, kid, but it's not a green light to have 10 beers a day. Probably had 20. And when we came back into Sydney, it was a 10-night cruise, and I said to my mates, I don't feel good. And I said, I feel like my body's about to shut down. And anyway, the next night I was in hospital on a drip, and went back 2 weeks later to see my cardiologist, where she had a really honest chat with me. And she pulled the glasses down off her head, and she goes, I'm going to put it real simple for you. You can live this life you're living. You'll have a great time. You won't see 45. And I was 40 at the time. So, That was the moment for me that was like, well, actually, that's pretty sobering stuff. So that's when I decided to make a change, and so far it's been going okay. And still battling with it from time to time, but at the moment I've got on meds, 3 different meds, which I've been taking now for a number of years, and that seems to be under a little bit of control, which is good.
Be nice. So, I guess what are the main with the condition? What does it do to the body? Is it like is it lack of blood flow?
Yeah, it is. So it's a lack of oxygen-rich blood.
Yeah.
So your heart works overtime because it doesn't produce enough quality blood. Your heart actually works overtime. So, and I had as part of that, I had an irregular heartbeat when I was diagnosed. So I had one of the tests that they do is just a Holter monitor.
Yep.
So only for 24 hours. It's pretty standard stuff. And a lot of people have those. And I had around 13,500 regular heartbeats in a 24-hour period. So it wasn't every now and then. It was consistent. So, and that was the flutter that I could feel that I didn't really know what it was. But the day that I had the operation, the day after I had to go, they squeezed me in to see the cardiologist, and the ophthalmologist who did my eye surgery, he sat there and he said to me, "So how'd you go to the GP?" And I said, "Well, actually not real good, mate." And I told him what had happened, and he grabbed my wrists and to test my pulse, and he looked at me and with the shock on his face, and he said, "You've got a blockage. I think you've got a blockage. I'm not letting you leave my practice until you have an appointment today." It was the day before Anzac Day, and I was like, and again, I was a bit surreal. I sort of didn't really take it that serious. I thought, oh, how bad can it be, you know? But then got in to see the cardiologist, and she put me on the bed, tested the heart, did an ultrasound, and the first comment was, "I don't see the problem." And as soon as she said that, she went, "Oh no, there it is," and that was the irregular heartbeat coming through. So, with that irregular heartbeat, I've on a beta blocker med to rectify that, and on a couple of blood pressure meds as well to keep the blood pressure low. So, that's I guess the one of the big symptoms with it. But it's again not getting enough oxygen-rich blood to your body that your body needs, and that's why the heart then works over time. And mine's quite sluggish, so just have to make some changes. And but I said I had no idea at the time that there was anything wrong. And it was a bit of a shock to me. So and that's why it took me probably a bit of time to really sort of take it serious. And thankfully the cruise was it.
So we did a podcast with Graham last year. Haven't released it yet, but it's last year. And with my godfather back in the UK, and similar thing, story he told us, he was retiring, so he just went to do a full body check, and it turned out he had a leaky valve, no idea, and then he had to have surgery within inside like 4 or 5 months, I think it was, and if he didn't, he was gone. He literally went, "Oh, I'm going to get a checkup because I need to, just I'm getting to that age, I'm going to get a checkup, think about retiring," and then all of a sudden,
it's sobering. It is sobering, and I've heard mates since say that they've got a couple of things wrong, and when I hear it, what they're telling me, I'm like, "Hang on, that sounds really familiar." It's like, go and get checked out. And like, we're all guys, we generally don't until our legs are falling off, and it's like, "Oh, I'll be right." And, but I went, as I said, for the eye operation because I was getting blurred vision. And if I didn't have that, I probably wouldn't know. The ophthalmologist who did my eye surgery, he said, "You could have dropped it at any minute. You're a ticking time bomb." So,
that's scary. But it's life-changing. And so just want to try to go back a little bit. You were saying that you changed your diet. So now what does that kind of look like for you with your diet? How does that go?
That's a good question, actually. So I played footy for years, and then when I stopped playing footy, which is about 2008, I sort of trained 2-3 days a week, and I got to that point where I just didn't want to train anymore. I was like, thank God that's over. And so I moved from the country and over to the Central Coast here in 2010. And so I had nothing to do with any footy or anything like that. It was probably the next 2 to 3 years, I just ate whatever. So I used to think I was eating okay, but I'd have lots of carbohydrates during the day. And then I also have a big carbohydrate meal at night, which might have been pasta with no exercise around it. So very quickly I started to put on a lot of weight. But since being diagnosed, it's my portion sizes are a lot less. I generally have protein in each meal. For me, my go-to is lots of chicken, just chicken and salad and heaps of veggies, but I still, you know, splurge or whatever, but I very rarely eat takeout and things like that. But you know, good fats, you know, almonds and avocados, things like that. So eat lots of that, but it's mainly the protein, cutting back on really unhealthy food. And I mean alcohol too, like I said, when I played footy, you'd have beers every Sunday night or whatever, and I still have a beer now, but I can't handle it like I used to. I definitely don't drink that much these days. And that for me is that doesn't worry me. It's a hangover these days, the last 2 or 3 days, not 2 or 3 hours. So I'm okay with that. So
with the diet and that, did you kind of do your own research? Was it a cardiologist that put you onto it?
No, it was my PT.
It's almost like a leading question.
It was a funny story how I sort of met him. But he was the one to show. I went to a nutritionist first because I thought, I want to lose weight. I probably need to lose a bit of weight. So I went to the nutritionist and they were telling me to eat all these different things. And when I looked at them, even I was doubting that a bit. I thought, I don't think that stuff's that healthy or whatever. And then I got back to the gym. I started to lose a couple of kilos, but it was really slow and didn't really know what I was doing at the gym. So I thought, I'd need some help. So reached out to a woman I worked in conjunction with, and it was my PT's wife. And I heard her at a meeting once say that her husband was a PT. And so I said, oh, you got a card for your husband? And she gave me his card, and I'm still seeing him now today. And so it's been 10 years. But he was the one that actually explained to me around, you know, when to eat carbs and that you should eat carbs. And I'm not saying don't eat them, but when to eat them. And and he's the one that sort of got me onto looking at the portion size and doing meal preps. And I'd never meal prepped. but doing meal prep so that you're eating well most of the time. So that was probably the thing for me that really changed things. And then after 5 months, I went back. I'd lost 18 kilos and I went back to my cardiologist, and my ejection fraction had gone from 35% back to 62%. She said she'd never seen that. She wanted to know what I'd done, and I just explained it to her. And she was pretty happy about that. I went back to the eye surgeon, and he actually was surprised. He said, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. I said, still see my trainer today, but he was the one that really looked at that nutrition side of it for me, which helps, you know, with everything else.
So with my background in gyms and that, I did work with Ben for a number of, Ben and I were quite close for a number of years, so yeah, leading question. But I think there's a lot of trainers out there. I've worked with a lot of trainers, I've managed a lot of trainers, I've hired, I've educated. There's a lot of focus on exercise, not focused on nutrition, and I think that's the big thing that a lot of exercise professionals out there just don't either have the knowledge on or they don't focus on. They can, and a lot of trainers that can run a quality session and the client can walk out the door sore and sweaty, but the knowledge behind it, and I think that's such a big thing that a lot of trainers are missing. So Benjamin Prescott's the best personal trainer.
And I probably agree with that too. Until we sat down, we chatted to Bronte here. I was a bit the same. Just flog yourself for training, that should be enough. But actually, what you eat, it's major.
It's like you're changing the. Well, if you're looking for like exercise performance, there's a guy that I know from work, but also from rugby, a guy called AJ. He just ran a 200-kilometer. Basically, he set himself a goal of running 200 km in one go, just to see if he could do it. And he did it in 27 hours. And he posted like what he was eating in the lead up to that, and he was eating 4,000-5,000 calories a day, which even for me as a big boy, I wouldn't get close to that. But he's eating all the right things at the right times to fuel him for that performance. He's got like 80 something kilos, he's lean as anything, and he's an absolute weapon.
It was a bit of a shock for me, because Ben said to me, he said, you know, 90% of this is, you know, the hard work is, you can work out at the gym like children, but 90% of this is what goes in your mouth. And when the first couple of weeks I was with him, I was sort of up and down, and he said, I want you to, this week, I want you to write down everything that you eat. I don't care what it is. So I did that, and I took it back to him the next week. He goes, okay, get rid of that, that's okay, change the time on that. And then he wrote me up a meal plan for a 2 week period. And he said, I just want you to follow that religiously. And I lost 2 or 3 kilos in that period of time. And I just have followed that. That's really basic, really basic stuff. Mm. But I had no idea around the nutrition side of it until he pointed it out. So, which has been helpful.
Benny is a coach as well, I think, because I said we've been for a long time. His accountability piece, it's intense. I think you can say that. It's intense, but it's also like, how much do you care?
Yeah.
Like some people find him a bit over the top, but also like he's here to get you results.
Yeah.
And he's here to challenge your accountability. You've from what you've done previous, you've gotten yourself to here. You want to get to point B. He's going to get you there, but you have to commit.
Yeah, and you do. And you know he's been. It's like, as you said, it's around that accountability. So as soon as you walk in, the first thing you do is you jump on the scales. That for me is the truth. So I know if I've had a really good week or a bad week, and then I know the session, if I've had an average week, he's going to ask me questions about that. And rightly so, it's around, hang on, what did you do to get, what didn't you do well, what could have you done? And but he's fantastic with that, as you said, that accountability. And it's interesting, there's a guy that goes to the gym who's got the same condition as me, and which is quite a recognition, and he's just had a pacemaker put in. But him and I have chatted for the last few years around that, around, you know, how good it is when you've got someone that actually pushes you to make you better.
Yeah, I just kind of want to just ask around with your diet and that kind of thing, bringing it back to just, you know, everyday life. When you did make your change in diet, how did you feel like every day, like, you know, your children, stuff like that? How does that go?
Yeah, that's a good point. So when I was first diagnosed, so it was a bit of shock. And then when I went to Ben, one of the things he said to me was, why are you here? What are you doing? And I had diagnosed with a condition. And I said, oh, I want to see the kids grow, you know, I'm quite young at the time. And so for me, it was it took me a bit to get used to, because I have chocolate. I love chocolate, so chocolate's the devil. But I reckon I had chocolate most days during that period where I lost 18 kilos, but everything else was on point. But once it became a habit, but it took me a while to get into that habit. And as Ben would say, you know, it's really easy to get into good habits, but it's really easy to fall out of them again as well. And so as I said, over the years, I've been to see Ben, and then I'll have a break, and I think I could do it on my own, and I fall back into old habits and put a bit more weight on the guy, hang on, before it gets out of hand, I'll go back. But once I got started on it, it was really simple. So I set up meal prep, and my meal prep's really basic. So I'll have a protein shake in the morning. Mid-morning, it might be some cottage cheese, just with some rye beans, could be on its own. And then lunch and dinner is pretty much the same. So it'd be some form of protein. So again, chicken for me was good, with heaps of vegetables or a salad. And then an afternoon tea, I might have another protein shake or a protein bar. And it's as simple as that. So, and I would just prep that. So I generally meal prepped on a Sunday, which would get me through to Tuesday night, and then a meal prep Wednesday, which would get me then through to Sunday. So, but I felt so good once I did that, and then started to see the results. I'd feel guilty a little bit if I'd, you know, go to the pub and have a pub feed or something like that, and think, oh, I've just had a burger with some chips, you know. But that's okay to do that, you know. But not all the time. So, but yeah, once I started, it just became a really easy habit to follow and finish. So.
And is that, I guess, obviously you've got the three little ones, or not so little anymore, but has that affected their, I guess, diet choices as well, kind of seeing how you do your...
They generally pretty well, so... Okay. I'm not sure which from that or not, but they generally eat pretty well, so... but when I first started losing the weight, I used to say to them, if you see me eating some chips or chocolate, I'm going to turn into a fat bastard. And they would. So I'd be like, everyone else stop.
Kids, honestly.
But just how did it impact your energy-wise for like your work and just your everyday life?
That's a really good question. I felt a lot sharper at work with my decision making. Felt like I had a lot more energy. So I'll generally try and work out of the morning, early in the morning, and then it doesn't matter what happens in during the day. If you have a bad day at work, or you get to the afternoon and go, oh dear, God, I'll train tomorrow. It's out of the way, it's done. But I found it's had a lot more energy. I then got to a point where I might train in the morning and then I'd feel good. I'll do something in the afternoon. It could be just a walk or a jog or something like that. But it just felt sharper in the mind. And I felt like I was on top of everything, of work, the gym and the heart condition. And it just, it felt right then. So it definitely makes you sharper in your mind, definitely.
And Connor, what does like a standard day or week look for you now? Like in terms of exercise, we will hear about your meal prep and that kind of thing. Yep. But just how about your exercise? How's that fitting with all that?
So every Monday, I do my PT session with Ben, 7 a.m. every Monday morning. So just get the week off to a really, really good start. I'll often see on Instagram, I follow a lot of people that go personal trainers and things like that, and they all talk about don't miss a Monday. So I see Ben on Monday morning at 7 o'clock, and say jump on the scales and then session, and then we'll set a goal, what my goal might be for the week. And it could be, I might have a could be a fitness goal, it could be a nutrition goal, whatever it might be. And then I'll try and train then every morning at 7 o'clock Mondays, try and get there earlier on other days of the week. I travel down to Sydney for work 2 or 3 days a week. So sometimes I'll have to train in the afternoon because of that. But once I'm in that sort of bit of a zone, that doesn't become an issue. I just take the gym clothes with me and then stop in there on the way back. And I mix that up. So that training could be, might do 2 or 3 weight sessions a week. And then I might mix that up with some cardio, and could even be a swim as well. So just go for a swim. One of the goals I've set, haven't achieved it yet, but I've said it about 5 times, but I want to do a sprint triathlon, which is a very short triathlon. So I've set that as a goal for this year to get it done at the end of the year. So I'll do a bit of swimming. Running's not the best, but it's only a 3-4K run maybe in a sprint. So I can put up with the pain. I've got no cartilage in my knee, so that's
so is it like a 200-meter swim?
Yeah, 200-meter swim. I think it's a 10K
bike ride.
Run at the finish. So, I've been saying to me, because my bad knee's complaining footy, they had 4 knee reconstructions. So, he said, I just have to put up with pain when you're on. So, I could do that just to tick that box. But, so a bit of a mix of everything. So, but I like to try and do something every day if I can. So.
And probably, like, we also know Gowers through footy, and you're going to running around again this year, or you're hanging it up?
I've said I'm hanging up. I've been retiring every year for 15 years. So I've stopped announcing it. So, I love the footy, as you know. Played footy for a lot of years, and then did my knee in 2008, and had 2 knee reconstructions that failed, both of them. So that was then the catalyst to not doing anything. That was my excuse, I suppose. And then had it redone in 2011. So didn't play any footy, and then just got involved with the footy club at the Wildcats by accident in 2015, and went to a few of the older blokes who were playing third grade, and just went and got involved that way, and then played a few games since then. But look, if the boys are short, the boots are always in the back of the car.
But that's probably my point, is you've had your heart scare, you've made a real big difference in your lifestyle, and you're back playing footy. How old did you say you
were? I'm 50 this year, so.
50, yeah. So, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was jokingly said to my mates the other day that I celebrate birthdays every 6 months. Yeah, I'm sure I'll make the full 12. Yeah, look, footy's been good, and I didn't think ever that I'd won, even from the knees, that I'd play footy, but even after the heart condition, I was like, no, that's not going to happen. But I spoke to my cardiologist about that, and initially she said, I want you to exercise, just don't overexert. I sort of keep the footy away from her, but I don't run that fast these days, so I don't think it's too bad.
Catch
him fast. Exactly.
Couple of head high shots and a yellow card.
Yes.
So I was just about to go into the new tackle height law, and I'm like, people don't want to listen to that.
That's not a rugby podcast.
I wish you might jump into that. No. Yeah, okay. So I guess if you said a few mates and everything have said that had symptoms, the best thing to do right now, is it GP? Is it booking a cardiologist? What would you recommend?
I think for people my age, you get really complacent about your health. Men generally do.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll go to the doctor later or whatever. Mm. But as I said, I'd had symptoms. I'd had a flutter in my chest. I thought, what is that? That's strange. And I'd had that for a couple of years. Was no pain with it or anything like that. And so I didn't worry about it. I thought, whatever. Mm. A bit of a heart flutter, you know. And then when I was, diagnosed and it sort of come a shock. So my advice to anyone, particularly my age, would be just get a checkup. Go to your GP. Mm. Just get checked up. There's no harm in that. Talk to your GP about it. It might be a little thing, a little symptom. I've had to do tests again this year, and so the condition has deteriorated, which we knew it would do.
Mm.
But it's around managing that, and I had some other things that I got checked out, and that was around a bowel cancer scare, and there was nothing there, but there was a couple of polyps they'd found. But my advice to was, just go to GP, have a chat, and go from there. So could save your life. So I said I would do the when I had the eye condition, which was what they call a pterygium, which is the growth in your eye caused by the sun. And I'm a boilermaker by trade years ago, so the eyes sense. Were getting a workout. But and when he said to me, I'd just go to a GP and get checked out, and I said, mate, I don't have a GP. I haven't been to the doctor since I'd left the country and moved to the coast. And he said, I'll just go to a medical centre. And I was working in Chatswood at the time, and he said, just go to a medical centre. And I went to the medical centre at Chatswood, just walked in off the street and said, oh, I've got an operation tomorrow, I just need some pre-op checks. And they said, who do you want to see? And I went, who have you got? And that GP is still my GP today, Dr. Fan at Chatswood. And when I had the operation, then obviously found out about the heart, the ophthalmologist, when I went back to see him, said to me, he said, mate, what have you got on after this? And I said, I'm just going back to work. And he said, go past your GP, mate, and thank you for saving your life, because that's what she did.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's advice to mates, just go and get checked out.
Nice.
Solid advice.
Think of something. Don't get checked out. Doctors are there for a reason. All right, well, I think that basically covers it, man. So, gals, obviously appreciate your time today. I knew bits of it, but no, that's intense. 5 year expectancy and 10 years. 10 years later, you're still going.
Going strong.
So only a good day, boys.
Yeah. Full credit to you, mate. Obviously, you got a pretty heavy diagnosis, and you've motivated yourself for the better. So, no, mate, full credit to you. You're still here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And appreciate your time for today. I think that pretty much wraps it up. So, anything for you to shout out, bro?
No, just thank you so much, guys, for that. Just, spending that time and, sharing all that. Again, I learned so much from these things. And that was amazing. Thank you.
My pleasure. And the job that you guys are doing, the awareness you guys are raising is huge, because people don't know. Like, when you think about heart disease, you think about older people.
Mm.
But, I was diagnosed at 39 and now have stage 2 heart disease. So, can get out of hand pretty quickly. But the job you guys do to raise awareness, I think, is fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice to hear
something. So get checked out, listen to our podcast, and chat to your local GP, PT, dietitian. Done.
Awesome.
All right, well, that wraps it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for the next one, and we'll speak to you soon. Have a great rest of your day.